Welcome to the program Study in the Chapel. God's Word is supreme at Chapel Ministries. We consider it absolutely essential to a proper relationship with God. We study it, we love it, we rely on it every minute of every day. The following program is an edited recording of the regular Bible studies we hold, and we decided to share these with you in the hope that you too will be able to find inspiration, encouragement, and ultimately salvation through discovering Christ in Scripture. Our intention is to travel all the way through the Bible. It will be a challenging journey, but one that will undoubtedly bring you to a decision. Through this study, you will be faced with either believing or rejecting what God has said to us. It is our intention to provide you with enough knowledge to make an informed decision about God and His Word. We strongly encourage you to listen intently and diligently, because though at the moment you may not realize it, these things are truly a matter of life and death. In fact, these are matters of eternal life and eternal death. Never treat what God has said lightly. There's truly nothing more important to you. Now, join us as we seek God's will through His inspired Word.
We are in the letter to the Romans today. Let's continue to concentrate on that first sentence. As you remember, I've been telling you that that first sentence spans the entire first seven verses, and it is powerful. Let me read the whole thing. Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, or a called apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in holy scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience of faith among all nations for his name. If you're noticing that some of the words in the King James, I am changing a bit, it's only because some of these things have been mistranslated. We talked about everything before. If you don't know what we're talking about, that just means this is the first time you've joined us in the Roman series. If you want to know more about what we're talking about when we say these mistranslations, go back and listen to the rest of these Roman series. Verse 6 again. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. He says it twice. He says it twice in two verses. He refers to us as saints. This might be important, don't you think? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Paul is writing this letter. He wrote all of his letters because the ones who receive them are saints. And this is why we study these things. They are for us. It may have been addressed to the Romans, but it's for us. All of us saints need to know why we're saints and how we are to fulfill our role as saints. Listen to me, the key to performing any job that's assigned to you is training. Whether your task at hand is in the office or in the pew, if you don't know what to do, then you're going to be terrible at whatever you've been assigned. This is to be taken seriously. Your call as a saint is to be taken seriously. It didn't end at your salvation, it began. Now, there are reasons there are user manuals. It's the same reason Paul wrote to those churches. We have to know how to get the job done. And listen to me, simply living a life that God would approve of is part of your job, an important part, actually. You know, there is a clause in the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which is basically the law book for the members of the American Armed Services. The Uniform Code of Military Justice, there's a clause in that law book that states that an officer can be punished, listen to me, for conduct that is unbecoming. That basically means that the military can punish a service member for simply bringing dishonor on the military by the way he behaves. Whatever he did may not be prohibited under the local law where the offense occurred. No one has to be injured. No personal financial gain may be involved. Simply, if you act in a way, conduct yourself in a way that is outside of what is expected of someone in your position and status, you can be charged with an offense. What you do in your everyday life says something about the one you serve. Your actions reflect on the one who you belong to. When God adopted you, you became responsible for acting as if he's your father, and he expects that you will. And you can expect punishment if you don't. But you need help to pull that off, and part of that help comes from this manual we call the Bible. Listen, your nature is actually opposed to acting in a way that brings God glory. And that manual tells you that, just so you don't get the idea that you can do anything without God's help. But also, you need that manual to lay out the steps necessary to retrain your nature. Actually, the steps necessary to completely replace that nature with a brand new one. Now that you're a saint, you have some training exercises to perform. Verse 7 again, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, if in your Bible you have the words to be in that sentence, cross them out. In my Bible, they're in italics and should have never been placed there, but at least the italics tells me that they weren't in the original. Thank you for your honesty, Mr. King James Scholar. If you have those words and they're not in italics, figure out a way to indicate to yourself or anyone else who might be reading from your Bible that they shouldn't be there. Now, we went over this when we discussed Paul's apostleship. My Bible says Paul was called to be an apostle. That is not correct. Paul was a called apostle, not to be an apostle. Paul was a called apostle. The words to be are in italics over there too. Verse 7 again, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul finally gets to the address of this letter. He finally identifies the ones for whom this letter was sent. To all in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. Worth the wait, I think, if you're going to be called beloved of God and a called saint. To all who are at Rome, not necessarily just the members of that church, but anyone else that may be visiting from other churches around the world. Paul didn't say to you, members of the Church of Rome. He said to anyone that is with you in that church at Rome. Remember, this is quite possibly one of the oldest churches outside of Palestine. Remember, we said it may have been founded by some of the original 3,000 who converted after Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. If that was true, then we must assume it was a very important church, a very important stopover for any Christian traveling in or out of the imperial city. You have to stop by there if you're going through Rome, just so that you can rub elbows with the originals. To all who are at Rome, beloved of God. And by the way, this is an important filter. What's written here is for all at Rome, but all at Rome who are the beloved of God. And you know who the beloved of God are, don't you? Of course you do. They are those who are called saints. A called saint is someone chosen by God before the foundation of the world. Remember, that's how Paul put it in the letter to the Ephesians. Reading it real quick, chapter 1, verse 4, he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That is what a saint is, a called saint. That is the called part of being a called saint. The letter to the Romans is for the beloved of God. In other words, called saints. What is contained in this letter is for those folks only. Now, I'm sure that bothers some of you. Nowadays, any suggestion of exclusivity, no matter how relevant it is repugnant to the ears of modern humans. Though I would love to address that nonsense, let me just tell you why being exclusive here is applicable and appropriate. Listen to me. It's practical. What Paul has to say in this letter concerns the Christian life. If you're not a Christian yet, this can't apply to you. It's not that Paul or anyone else forbids others to read it, but it's just that without being a beloved of God, a called saint, it's going to sound like gibberish. That's something else Paul said elsewhere. This time we'll go over to his second letter to the Corinthians, first letter to Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 13. What things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, if you're just going to use human intellect, you're going to at best be confused, but more likely completely misunderstand and misjudge the things Paul is teaching. In this material, we all need a teacher's aid, the most wonderful teacher's aid of them all, the Holy Spirit. His sole purpose, the Holy Spirit's sole purpose, is to assist us in understanding who Christ is and what he is to us. But not just anyone can avail themselves of the services of this holy teacher's aid. I know that's going to offend you. Not everyone receives the Holy Spirit. You will not receive the Holy Spirit until you are saved. Until you accept Christ's sacrifice, you are not a part of the Holy Spirit's agenda. That's just the way it is. In fact, unless you're beloved of God and a called saint, the Holy Spirit will do nothing for you. This letter to the Romans isn't attempting to keep you from coming in. It's just that it's only for those who are already in. And I will admit, if you're not already in, this whole conversation, as I said, is going to make you mad. I mean, go ahead and read the letter if you like, but until your status changes from cursed of God to beloved of God, you're just wasting your time. Now, before moving on to the rest of the verse, I know I said this was going to be quick, but I should never type anything in my notes before I do a little forward thinking. Anyhow, this is just another incredible statement among incredible statements, and there is no way we can just take it lightly. I love what Alexander McLaren says about this first part of verse 7. First, let's read Paul's words and then McLaren's. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. Now, McLaren, quote, This is the address of the epistle. The first thing to be noticed about it by way of introduction, listen to this, is the universality of this designation of Christians. Paul had never been in Rome and knew very little about the religious stature of the converts there, but he has no hesitation in declaring that they are all beloved of God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that we are beloved of God? I know there are many people out there who don't dare think that. They think, there's no way God could see me as his beloved. Let me tell you, if you are a called saint, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, then you are beloved of God and a saint. Back to McLaren. There were plenty of imperfect Christians amongst them, meaning the Romans. Many things to rebuke, much deadness, coldness, inconsistency, and yet none of these in the slightest degree interfered with the application of these great designations to them. So then, beloved of God and saints are not distinctions of classes within the pale of Christianity, but belong to the whole community and to each member of the body. Make sure you meditate on that next time the devil tries to make you feel bad. Now, one last point. Here, Paul is addressing the beloved of God. Now, it's important to the point I'm about to make that you understand that although this letter was written to the beloved in Rome, the contents therein apply to you because you too are beloved of God. Every letter Paul wrote, everything in the New Testament is meant not only for Paul's contemporaries, but for all of us Christians down through the centuries and on until Jesus comes to gather us all up. It's important for you to understand that. There may be some who say, well, you know, what Paul wrote doesn't apply anymore. It doesn't apply to the 21st century. You know, all the rules and all of these funny, fancy words he used, that's just because he was a Jewish rabbi who was only writing to Jews, and none of this really matters to us. Okay, it's pretty, but it doesn't matter to us. That is not true. We have the letter to the Romans. We have the New Testament. God preserved that word so that we can read them and study them and apply them to our lives. This letter is addressed to those at Rome who are the beloved of God. But the way Paul puts this makes us realize that not all the beloved of God are at Rome. Let me give you a quick example. If I sent a Facebook message and addressed it to my lovely sisters in Michigan, I put it exactly that way because maybe I'm letting them know I'm coming for a visit to all my lovely sisters in Michigan. I want you to know I'll be coming home right around my birthday. And in case you're wondering, my favorite color is blue and I'm partial to chocolate cake. Now, my sisters who are in Florida, who may see this message, they don't think that I think they're unlovely. They're certainly lovely. I included them in the overall category of lovely sister. So my message wasn't meant to exclude them from the opportunity to spoil me on my birthday. In fact, when I added the in Michigan part of my greeting to my lovely sisters in Michigan, it clearly meant there were other lovely sisters elsewhere. The beloved of God applies to all of those who have believed on Christ and are now saved. We are all beloved of God and not just those in Rome. You got it? Now, the very important point I want to make, and this is why I brought that up, you're in very good company, not just those Romans. Those Romans aren't the only ones that are beloved. You are, and you are amongst very important people. You know why? because God also uses the term beloved when referring to our Savior, when referring to Jesus. He over and over referred to him by this term, beloved. This is why it's important for you to understand you are also beloved. You are in him, and that's why you're beloved. Matthew 3:17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 12:18, here the gospel writer is actually quoting Isaiah, but giving the quote its fulfillment in Jesus. Again, Matthew 12:18. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles, and so on. My point with this is that we are truly joint heirs with Christ, right down to the way God feels about his son. The way he feels about his son, he feels about us. That is so hard to grasp for most Christians. Christians in Michigan, it's hard to grasp. It is so difficult for us to really believe that when God sees us, he's actually seeing his son. We are in his son. He can't help but to see us that way. We are cloaked with Christ. Jesus is beloved, and so are we, because we are in him. We are his body. If he's beloved, then so are we. And Paul loves to remind us of that in his writings. What an incredible blessing. We are beloved. Well, let's stop there for now. We're almost done with that first sentence. Short lesson for today, but there's still a lot to talk about. And I think it's best to save the rest for next time when we'll wrap this whole thing up. See you then.
We hope this study has blessed you. God's Word is a great treasure, and it's our belief that a thorough, purposeful study of it will bring all of God's children to an understanding of His eternal plan of redemption. It is our prayer that this will be so for all of our listeners. Please join us again soon. New content is being added all the time, so make sure you check back often. For more information on Chapel Ministries, including our YouTube channel and podcasts, please visit www.chapelontheweb.com. And if God has laid it upon your heart to share materially with us, we encourage you to follow the links to our secure giving page. Please note, Chapel Ministries is not an IRS-registered nonprofit organization, and your donations to this program are not tax-deductible. It's our hope that you do not rely on taxing authorities to decide for you who is worthy of your generosity.